Good morning. Sure is good to see all y'all here with my best southern accent. And I'm excited to see you. I'm excited by what God continues to bring us. There's several things that I want to share with you this morning. The first is, did you all notice the difference in the church building when you got here this morning? They took our trees away, right? And that means there's less work for us to do, right? Because there's not so many leaves and junk lying around on the parking lot. Well, here's the exciting thing about that. When Ed and I were talking with the guy who is the site manager and clearing it all there, he told us that they're going to be building some apartment complexes that run the whole length on this side and on this side of the building. This house and the trees here, that's all going to be bulldozed down. There's going to be over 460 apartment units right on our doorstep. Now, in my translation, that means there's going to be about 1,000 people right on our doorstep. So here's why I'm sharing that with you. Because I think it is absolutely critically important that we begin prayerfully to consider what that means to us. Our congregation will never be the same again once that is all completed. And they're talking about finishing the building in August of 2017. And so we're going to have over 1,000 people on our doorstep. Probably mostly younger people, college age, or young people moving into apartments. And so how we're going to function as a congregation is going to change, whether we like it or not. If it doesn't change, then we'll just stay here and probably shrivel up and die. But here's what I'd like for you to do. I would implore you to be prayerful about this over the next several weeks, to constantly be praying about what we can do to effectively reach out to these people who are going to be moving onto our doorstep. And then maybe in the next month or so, we'll have a town hall meeting, so to say, to talk specifically about what do we need to do, what can we do, what would we like to do, what are we able to do, and what do we need to do in order to equip ourselves to be able to handle what God has given us. And so I really implore you to be praying about that and to be giving it some serious consideration. And as a body of people, we can look and see what it is that God would have us do as we have an opportunity to reach out to all of these folk on our doorstep. So that's the one thing that I wanted to share with you. And the other thing that I really wanted to ask you to continue to pray about is, you know, we're involved in a process of looking for the potential of elders in our congregation. You know, continue to pray about that. I appreciate the contribution that Herman has made in that process, and over the next several weeks now, we'll be looking at some different things on Wednesday evening, and I encourage as many of you as possible to participate in our Bible studies on Wednesday night. I really think it's critically important that we as a congregation are informed about what the Bible has to say about elders and their responsibility and their role. And not only that, but our responsibility as congregation towards elders. And how do we respond to them? And what is our responsibility toward them? So as we continue on in that process, I absolutely solicit your prayers. And I encourage you to participate in our Bible studies on Wednesday evening to that end. This morning marks the time when these trees here with all of these leaves on is going to end. And I praise God for the number of people in our congregation who have continued to make it a daily habit to read God's Word and to study the Bible. I don't think that there is any other single aspect other than prayer itself that is as critically important to our spiritual development and to our learning what God would have for us to do in His will within His kingdom. And so we don't just read God's Word for the value of knowledge. We don't just read it so that we can hang leaves on a tree. We don't just read it so that we can check off in the menu box that I've read this passage or I've read this book. But we read God's Word for the purpose of being able to understand better what God's will in our life is. We read God's Word so that when we have opportunity to share something with someone who is seeking to know about God, we can speak from a resource of knowledge because we have read and we have allowed the Spirit of God to work in our lives. We read God's Word so that we can be better equipped to live a life in a fallen world that we live in that is just racked with sin and misappropriate behavior, so that we can be a shining light to the world that we live in. I appreciated the comments of several in our Bible class this morning, and David leading us in a study that looks at what can we do? Who are we? What do we look like as people of God? And so we read God's Word not just so it's an exercise that we do, but there's value in the fact that we look beyond where we're at and we can be useful within the kingdom of God. I believe that it's absolutely amazing that God has given us this incredible provision, not only of His Word, but the avenue of prayer through the Holy Spirit that allows us to be able to communicate with God. And when we talk about communication, we need to understand that communication is just not talking to someone. But if we're talking about communication, it is a two-way process. We both send and receive, much the same as God does. He sends us messages and we receive messages through Him. And the Holy Spirit and the Word of God work inexplicably together in a way that sometimes is beyond our ability to fully understand that. Nothing is more limiting than the self-imposing boundaries that we clamp around our own lives when we require God to fit into our expectations. It's a quote that I found, I don't know who said it first, otherwise I'd have given credit to it, but it's in your hand up. And it's worth pondering, it's worth thinking about. Because it's amazing that we would limit God by our own intellect, or lack of intellect, and then still expect God to fulfill our expectations. In the book of Acts in chapter 17, and I would encourage you to turn there, because we really want to look at some of the things that God has revealed to us in this amazing chapter. We see a beautiful illustration of some of the things that I've just spoken about. You see, in our life, just as in the life of people who have come into the presence of God, there's always a time to be silent. There's a time to be still. There's a time to experience the awesome power of God, primarily because prayer is alive. Prayer is nothing that is just passive. Prayer is not just an activity that we do because that's what we're supposed to do before we eat a meal or before we go somewhere or before we go to bed. But prayer is the substance, the essence of our life that God has given us. It's a song of praise. It is a glow of warmth that just emulates from within us. It is a flame or it's burning with power and majesty. In the ancient city of Thessalonica in the country of Greece, there was something that I think is recorded as the first accurate assessment of the power of God in the church that Jesus had come to establish. And we all are familiar, hopefully, we're all familiar with the things that happened on the day of Pentecost as recorded in the book of Acts in chapter 2. And here in Thessalonica in Acts chapter 17, we see an enactment of this. as was Paul's custom, when he first went into cities, he would go to the synagogues and he would preach there to those that were there. And Acts 17 records for us what had happened as a result of his preaching. In verse 4, we're told that there were many people that joined the multitudes of the Greek people who had already been following Christ. In verse 5 of the same chapter, we see that the Jews, the Jewish leaders, the religious leaders of the time, had become jealous, and they formed a mob to cause an uproar against the brethren as they were continuing to multiply and increase in their numbers. Jason was the man whose home they used. And he was singled out as someone for the Jewish people to accuse and attack. And they never let up on him until they received a pledge from him that he would no longer support whatever was going on. And I'm not sure, and that's just my understanding of what happens in the text, because you look down there in verse 7 and 8, and particularly down into verse 9, the sequence of events that happened. Well, as a result of all of the turmoil there, verse 7 says that they went on to Berea. That was Paul and Silas and his crew. And as they went on down there, you know that in Berea, that's where people were first named Christians. But the issue that we see is really an issue that is an age-old issue. It's all about kingship. It's all about kingdom living. Can you see that when you look at the text? Can you see that the issue was, well, who are you going to follow? Are you going to follow this Jesus, or are you going to follow the established religious pattern of the Jewish people? Who's in charge? And it's the same issue that we face in the world today, isn't it? Even within congregations, even within this congregation, there's always somebody who thinks that they know more than anyone else and that you have to do things just exactly like they do. And that's the issue over and over and over again that we see throughout the whole religious arena. Irrespective of whether it's within the Churches of Christ or any other religious group, it's the root complaint. It's who's in charge. And when we look at the kingdom as is preached and taught through the book of Acts and as Jesus taught through the Gospels, the kingdom is all about following Christ. It's not about the human person who's going to stand in the gap and speak as it is for God. But rather, it's about following Christ. And so, clearly, there is more than just a teaching that has been questioned here in the book of Acts, and this particular chapter. There were things that were happening that upset the apple cart. There was a progress of an establishment of the kingdom of God that its function was in opposition to that of the ruling religious thought or the traditional thinking of that day. And to be sure, when we sit down and analyze this and look at it and read through the book of Acts and compare it to the gospel accounts, since Pentecost, there hadn't been too many dramatic things that were happening. But as we understand the text, and as we understand the force of what God is speaking through His Word, we understand that the changes were being made within the hearts of people. And people were no longer subservient to the religious authorities of the day, but they were giving their lives to God. And they were transformed by the presence of God's Spirit in their lives that caused them to live a lifestyle that was distinctively different to that which they were used to in that culture and that society. And the tremors that were being felt in that day were strong enough to really attract the attention of the Jewish leaders, of the religious leaders. It's not that there was miraculous things that were happening that caused them to say, oh wow, we need to pay attention to this. But there was a steady move away from that which had been consistently taught and preached by the religious leaders in the Jewish world to that which Jesus had revealed. And the tremor of that attracted a whole lot of attention. When we look at the book of Acts, we understand that it was at least another 8 years before these tremors were felt just 30 miles away north in Samaria, where people finally received the name Christian. And another 7 years after that went on until the growing number of Christians was spoken about throughout the face of the Roman Empire and on into Asia Minor. City after city, the surge of a new lifestyle, a new belief system, empowered by the Spirit of God, enacted through the prayers of the brethren, was beginning to form and change the whole horizon of the community in that area. It all had to do with the proclamation of a new king. It all had to do with the transfer of rulership that does not happen in an orderly manner. And even today, when we look into our social environment, whenever there's a change of leadership, whenever there's a change of rulership, there's havoc. Sister Peggy was talking to me this morning. She said she heard on America Today the havoc that's been created in South Africa because the people of the country are rebelling against the ruling party and they're wanting to see change. And so it's erupted into a very violent environment. We're no different here, really. Even though we're more of a civilized or cultured environment. But when you listen to the news media and the social media, every time some of our political opponents or people stand up and speak, there's people who are rioting and creating a ruckus and creating a fuss because they do not want change. And they don't like what's coming. But the Holy Spirit guides us as children of God. Beloved, we know that the battle that was faced back then in the book of Acts didn't end in the book of Acts. We know that that battle continues to rage in the world that we live in. We know that as children of God, we are empowered through prayer by the Holy Spirit. We know that as we understand the teachings of Scripture, not only the words of Jesus through the Gospels, but throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, that God has always asked us to march to a different drumbeat to that of the world. That our distinction is by the moral way that we live our lives. That we are distinctively different. We don't do things the way the world does them. Because we're children of God. And we know that the battle is not only not over, but we know that the battle continues to rage with an unknown intensity even within us today. That the fight is for our minds, the fight is for our hearts, that God and Satan are engaged in a spiritual warfare for the control of who you and I are. And if we don't submit to God, we will submit to the opposition of God. No matter what anybody tells you, if we're not following God, then we're following the enemy. And that is what this book of Acts, the 17th chapter, clearly reveals to us. And we can see that as we go through the book of Acts and we understand the teachings of the book of Acts. But more significant than that, when we look at this whole concept and we understand that way back even in the Old Testament times, this war was waging and God knew about it already back then, and He warned His people, even as He warns us today. You notice what He says here in 2 Chronicles chapter 16? He says, "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that He may strongly support those..." Who's He going to support? Those whose heart is completely His. And so many times I have people say to me, "Well, Jeff, you know, if you're talking about giving over your life to God, how do you do that?" Well, we give it over completely. And I think that means different things to different people, but the final analysis is, God is the ruler of my life. If He says it, I do it. Even if I don't understand it. And so He says that in the Old Testament as well. "You have acted foolishly in this," He says. "Indeed, from now on, you will surely have wars." You want to know why there's struggles in the world that we're living today? Because people refuse to listen to God. And we want it our own way. And that's been the case forever and forever. And we understand that. But as we look at those things, I want you to understand something. Walk with me with a brief survey through the book of Acts. Two things happen when we submit ourselves to God. And I'm running out of time. Two things happen. There is havoc that is caused in the world that is detrimental to man per se. But there's havoc that is also caused in the world that is beneficial to the man who seeks to serve God. The power that brought healing to life and freedom to individuals is the same power that created havoc to the prevailing lifestyles. And it's a principle that we see throughout the book of Acts. Acts chapter 3. Havoc is seen when we see this man who is born crippled from birth and he's healed. The power source that created the havoc was two men on their way to prayer. They're part of a continuing prayer program when we read through Acts chapter 3. And they declared healing in the name of Jesus. Skip on to chapter 4, and we see that the havoc is experienced when multitudes experience a reconciling peace and joy in contrast to the normal turmoil of emptiness in a worldly life. The power source in chapter 4 is a small group of believers in Jesus Christ who were commanded to be silent. But even though they were commanded to be silent, they get down to some earnest prayer and it creates havoc in the community. Chapter 5. The havoc is seen when hypocrisy seeks to invade the community of believers in Ananias and Sapphira. Two people die of a heart attack that results in greater extent of purification within that body. The power source of what happened there is a praying leadership that operates humbly and yet powerfully in discernment of what the Holy Spirit gives. We go on in chapter 5 and we see another beautiful passage there where the havoc is believers are imprisoned for making people well. And then they're released during the night by some angelic visitation. They're recaptured and they're beaten. And yet they refuse to show any animosity towards those who beat them and recaptured them and anything, any bitterness about the treatment they received. The power source is seen in the praising and rejoicing and worshiping and trusting in God's overruling work through their prayer and recognition of who God is. And we can go on down through the book of Acts and we see that over and over and over again. And it seems to me that when we do a survey, if you go back through the book of Acts and survey through it, case after case, we see that where there is havoc,
There is a power source that is the crucible of that happening. And the power source is God changing people's lives so that they reflect the images of Him. That power that we read in the book of Acts that brings havoc to the world through prayer is the same power, beloved, that we have today. The same power. And so our lifestyles and the things that we do really should not be any different. God never intended the Bible to be a museum where past triumphs of faith can be examined for their historical interest. God never intended the Bible to be that way. But rather, to the Hebrew writer, he says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. Doesn't that capture who we're supposed to be? Who we indeed really are? God never promised us a rose garden. He never promised us a life of ease and tranquility. He never promised us health and wealth and prosperity. But He promised us that He would never leave us. He promised us that if we reflect His images, and that if we live our lives according to how He has called us, that He will bless us in ways that is unbelievable. And He does. He does. You know that as well as I know that. As you have prayed through different situations in your life, you know as well as I know that there are things that have happened that you cannot explain but by simply saying, God did it. We know that. And yet our struggle is to let go and to let God. So we read Scripture so that we can be used of God in the bigger picture. We pray so that His Spirit can interfere in our lives and intercede for us so that we can bring honor and glory to God. And when we live our lives in a way that is so different from the world that we live in, that the tremors and the urgency of what is happening is felt by the authorities of the day, then we know, indeed, God is with us. I came across another quote that I really, really liked. And I don't know who said it, otherwise I would also have given credit to it. But when the subnormal is normal, the normal is labeled abnormal, and real sense is said to make none. You get that? When the subnormal is normal, and the normal is labeled as abnormal, and the real sense is said to be nonsense. Beloved, we live in that world. As children of God, we live in the subnormal, according to the world, according to the earth. We don't live like the world lives. We're different. We're a peculiar people. We're special. We're part of a royal priesthood. We've been set apart by the Spirit of God because of our commitment to Him as the Lord of our lives. It has a price. And we all have tasted of that price. The question is, is it worth it for you? I hope so. Because as we continue on in our journey with God, as we look at opportunities that He presents us, even like this opportunity behind us and around us, and as I prepared and as I was studying and praying about what I wanted to speak about this morning, I was unaware of what was happening around us. I only became aware of that yesterday. But God presents opportunities for us. Nothing is too big for us to handle. God delights in the impossible. Do we? I don't know about you, but in my life, Christianity is an exciting life because it's never the same. There's always a challenge, and there's always opportunities, there's always hurdles. And when I lay down in bed at night and I think about who I am and what has happened, oftentimes I am speechless, if you can believe that. And I don't have any answer to what is happening outside of God, because He's in control. I'm excited to be back. I'm excited to be with you. I'm excited to see what is happening. I'm excited about the food that is downstairs as well. But more than that, I'm excited about the fellowship that we have because of Christ. This morning, if you're not a part of this family of God, and I'm not just talking about this family here, but I'm talking about the kingdom of God. And there is anything we can do to help you walk through those doorways, then please let us know. John has a song, and he's going to be over time, not me. And he has a song, and if you need to respond while together we stand and sing, won't you do that?